Ladies and gentlemen, round the hall. And here now, our special guest, who has flown all the way from Montenegro to be with us tonight, Siffleuse extraordinaire, Gladys Mavrogadatto.
Hello, and welcome to the show. Thank you very much.
Good on you.
Yes. Well, now, I expect you'd like to hear some of the events that are taking place this Christmas. There's the floodlit Natterjack toad trembling at the Freethinkers Hall. There's the 100 yards hop, step, and gesture race at Potter's Bar. And the Free Wales Army will be staging a raid on the London Aquarium. But personally, I'm looking forward to an exhibition given by our old friends, the over-80s nudist leapfrog team, who will be giving us a demonstration of prune fumbling. And I hope to pick up a few wrinkles there. All right, Smith, swing into the announcement.
Right, sir, ring-a-ding-ding. First, via radio link, we go to Mount Everest to hear how that daring mountaineer, Sir Fledermaus Bullusage, and his loyal Sherpa Jam Singh are spending their Christmas. Are you there?
Yes, we are here at a narrow ledge on the north face. It's bitterly cold, and I have to keep talking to stop my Sherpa from dropping off. We've poured flaming brandy over the pemmican and twined holly round our pitons. And now we're... now about to pull a Christmas cracker. Are you ready, Jamsing? Wake up, man.
Oh, yes, I am waking. I got chipped. I got the chipped chipatis.
All right. All right, now hear this. Take this cracker.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Pull! Oh, good. I've got a lovely little plastic novelty.
And I've got the paper.
And thank you, Sir Fledermaus, alone on Mount Everest. And another man working through the festive season is St. Pancras washroom attendant, Mr. Montague Gore Strangely. I see you festooned the place with paper chains.
Yes. I made them myself.
Did you really?
Yeah, nice, aren't they?
Charming,
nice.
Yes.
Yeah, not only that, I've written the words Merry Christmas in white paint on the roller towel. Yeah.
Shows up very clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I left Mr. Gore Strangely secreting threepenny pieces in the bars of soap and looking at the cheery greetings on his walls. You know, there's a special magic about this time of the year. The snow drifts into the gutters, the band drifts into the pub. Above all, it's the season of pantomime.
And so tonight, ring-a-ding-dong. Half alive from London, Armpit Theatre proudly and furtively presents Cinderella, or Through a Glass Slipper Darkly.
The scene opens on a village green. The villagers dance about gaily, the footlights lighting up their feet, and the spotlights lighting up their spots. My name is Baron Hardup. I have three daughters. There's Cornplaster.
Hello, dear.
Played by Hugh Paddock. Then there's my second daughter, Bread Poultice, brought to life, by saturnine sex symbol Kenneth Williams.
Hello, Daddy. Look, hither comes Dandini, the prince's messenger.
That's all I ever get, these plot lines.
Oh, yes. I bring you salutations and a message from your sovereign prince. Insofar as that this evening a splendid ball cum cheese and wine party is to be held at the palace, all maidens are requested to attend for the purpose of a royal butcher's at the local crumpets.
Meanwhile, back at the kitchen range is my third daughter, Cinderella, played by swarthy, guttural ex-bomber pilot Betty Marsden. She sits among the cinders, a rosy glow on her cheeks. lines, woodenly recited by Douglas Smith.
Hello, Cinders, it is I.
Buttons? Buttons?
Oh, I do beg your pardon.
See, I said he couldn't handle the part. Let's give it a love scene to an announcer. Especially when there's professionals standing by. Yes, thank you. Yes, here's me fobbed off with an ugly sister. Ugly sister, spitting a cough. I'm not being serviced on this show. No, I need the servicing, ducky. I mean, I can cope with more than this, and this doesn't stretch me. I'm used to enormous parts.
Yeah.
All right, you can play Buttons as well.
Oh, good.
But yes. I say, sir, Mummy was listening specially.
Oh, shut up, Smith. Shut up.
Yeah, go on, get out.
Now then, re-enter Buttons.
Hello, Cinders. It is I, a Cinders. Oh, Cinders.
That's the way it ought to be played, you think. With a feeling. He makes it sound like 10 o'clock news, you know. Notice the timbre in my voice. You see, I can reach right to the back of the hall with me timbre, if I really try. And without your artificial aids, Ducky, I can tell you things make your ear curl.
Well, that'd be a miracle, too, wouldn't it?
Oh, what a shame you cannot go to the ball tonight, Cinders.
I know, Buttons, and yet my two ugliest sisters are going.
Be not gloomy. I will cheer you with a song and a smile.
We're gonna hang out washing on the sea free line. Have you any dirty washing? Here, hang on. Hang out the washing. Just how old is this script?
Well, what? What's the matter now?
I thought the pages were a bit yellow. Look at these jokes. Here, page 10. I hear Masso's just invented a new tank. Got it written here. 4 gears, 1 forward and 3 reverse. Now, shut up. It's all very well for you. You haven't got to read it. Look, ration books, gas masks, fire watching. I can't read these.
Very well. Let's leave the kitchen.
I should think so. Masso, indeed. It's a disgrace.
The transformation scene.
Nice.
The lights dim, the music swells, the stage revolves, revealing to our astonished gaze... We're back in the kitchen again. Cusack. Everyone has gone to the ball. Cinderella sits alone amongst the cold grey ashes, weeping softly and playing her saxophone. And hardly had she finished when a wrinkled old crone appeared in a twinkling.
Hello, old crone. Let me help you off with your twinkling.
How kind are you, child? I am your fairy odd mother.
There's a typing error. They missed out the G.
Oh, yes, yes.
G, I am your fairy. You shall go to the ball, Cinder. But I'll wave my magic wand.
Played by thin, rigid Douglas Smith.
And amazing things will happen. They always do when I wave it about.
There was a blaze of magic light, and in a trice, Cinderella's rags disappeared in their place. Well, come on, Paddock. Shouldn't there be something in their place?
Yes, sorry, I'm still a learner with this wand.
I'm not very good at changing gear.
It is I, but here, go and put something on.
It's not my fault. Me wand's jammed in second. There, that's better. Abracadabra. Ah, a shimmering silken ball gown studded with rhinestones. How lovely you look.
Oh, silken ball gown. Yes, it's me. Oh, thank you, Fairy. Thank you, very odd mother. Now I can
Listen,
go to the...
Listen, I should be wearing that.
This wouldn't fit you. Look at you. Great rippling deltoids.
Fists like smoked hands. You wouldn't get anyone kicking Sandy Betty Marsden's face. Now, me, you see, I'm more your lithe. I'm more your lithe, boyish type. Yes, I shall play Cinder.
Look, I'm not standing for this.
No.
I'm currently starring in Bride of the Swamp Monster. I got billing over the title.
All right, Betty, all right. But you know what he's like. You see, I'll see it's made up to you. Don't worry.
I don't know why you're battering her up. She's in the twilight of her career, she is. I've seen her in Bride of the Swamp Monster. And she don't wear makeup.
You're only jealous. I'm jealous because you did not get the part.
Yeah, she don't wear makeup. You're more a paper hanging job. You are.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, sorry, I spoke.
Aren't we all?
Yes, no. Enough, everybody. Now, let's see, where were we? Oh, yes, the fairy godmother called for a pumpkin and waved her thin, rigid Douglas Smith over it.
Swish, swish.
Well done, Smith. And amazingly, the pumpkin turned into a coach. And after that, she took four white mice, also played by versatile Douglas Smith.
Squeak, 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 sir.
Good man. On to the ball.
Hey, what about the glass slipper and being back at midnight and all that?
Well, there's no point in making it stiff with plot, eh? Okay. As Cinderella entered the ballroom, the prince saw her and started. The crowd around pretended not to notice. Before long, Cinderella and the prince were dancing together. Music swelled, tales from the Vienna woods floated upon the midnight air.
So anyway, dearie, you got me behind this tree in the Vienna woods. So I said, if you think I'm that sort of girl...
Laughter! Laughter and gaiety were everywhere. And joy knew no bounds. They had to throw her out in the air. Suddenly, the clock struck.
Bong, sir.
You get around, don't you, yes. Smith? Cinderella ran out into the night, leaving behind her nothing but a glass slipper, a surgical stocking, a copy of Judo Monthly, a roll of wallpaper, and a plastic sink tidy. And the following day, the prince promulgated a decree in a public place.
Oh, yes. The prince hereby decrees that whomsoever this glass slipper, surgical stocking, copy of Judo Monthly, roll of wallpaper and plastic sink tidy fits, he will espouse.
The prince and Dandini visited every maiden in the kingdom, trying it on. Finally, they came to my own abode, hard up who? Well, first corn plaster tried it on, then bread poultice. And suddenly, from the kitchen ran a tousled waif.
Let me try it on.
Nonsense, it would never fit you, Buttons.
I'm Cinderella now, you fool. Oh. Here, give me the blimmin' thing.
There, see, it fits. Oh, prince, prince, when shall we be wed?
Say something, Prince. Speak to me. Come on, say something. Who's supposed to be playing Prince Charming?
Well, you are, actually.
I...
Oh. Oh, yes. Oh, actually, this could be rather nasty.
I'm walking about with the script, too. And so, kiddies, the prince in the person of Kenneth Williams and Cinderella, also in the person of Mr. Williams, were married and lived happily, if confusingly, ever after. Now, every year at this time, I like to hold a party, but unfortunately, the party I had in mind got a modelling job at the last minute. It was at the Merchant Seaman's Hospital, so I decided to invite a few friends round, and to help me with the arrangements, I had Daphne Whitefire.
Now, first, Why not a non-alcoholic punch? Tasty, but not inebriating. Here's my recipe. Marinate some cenopods in elderberry wine. Add a pint of prune juice, some rhubarb essence, and fig extract to taste. Top up with lemon juice, decorate with cucumber slices, and serve in individual cups. It's absolutely ideal if you want a running buffet.
Yeah, should make the party go all right. Thank you, Daphne Whitethigh. Ah, I heard the bell. It must be the first guest.
Madam Osiris wishes you the compliments of the season and brings you lots of luck and many roses.
Oh, Madam Gnome Clencher, let me take your hat, your coat, and your crystal ball.
Thank you.
And if you want to prognosticate, you know where it is. Right here on the hall stand.
I'm afraid I haven't brought you a present, but I'll give you a quick shufti up your zodiac. Now, let me see. Your Pisces is the fish, isn't you?
Yes.
Well, your house is in the fourth quarter, rising over Capricorn with your nodes in the ascendant and Virgo in the broom closet.
Well, what does that mean?
Means watch out for Chinese armed with baseball bats.
Thank you, Madam Osiris.
Oh, don't thank me, dear. It's all in the stars.
Yes, new arrivals. Hello. Why? Charles. Alone? Where's Fiona?
She's gone, Mr. Horn. Gone.
You mean lost?
Not lost, gone. She left this note here. Read it.
Q, when is a door not a door? A, when it's ajar. Why should she say that?
That's from her cracker. The note's on the other side.
Oh, I see. Now, what does she say?
Darling Charles. It's all over, my darling. I'm breaking it off. It could never be, my darling. Our love was a flash in the pan, a mere miasma, a few fresh, fleeting fragments of time. Snow in April in Paris in the spring, and spring in Park Lane. Sob, gulp, gasp. It's all over, Charles.
She writes very small, doesn't she?
Oh, Mr. Horn, with her gone, I shall die a little.
Die a little?
Yes, just here, the little grey bits over my ears. It'll take years off me.
Yes. And do you think that'll bring her back?
Back? Who wants her back?
Hello, it's Rambling Sid Rumpo.
Oh, hello, me dearie. Very nice to see you. Who will spare a penny for a wandering carol singer? For there's rhyme on me cord wangle and a sprig of holly at me grusset.
Well, I'll get the pliers. So. Good Rumpo, wouldst thou singst for the company?
Fine would I, only I'm under exclusive contract to Edison Bell. Still, being a as how it's you, I'll burst forth with my air as follows. It is called Good King Boroslav, and it goes after this fashion. Good King Boroslav looked out on the night of grunges, saw them whirling round about, armed with rubber plungers. Brightly shone their artifacts, read their possets glowing. He knew not from whence they came, but he knew where they were going. Out he went into the snow, loud his lummox ringing, with his moolies all aglow and his trousers clinging. Back he brought those grungers bold, stood them by the fire dogs, saved them from the bitter cold by thawing out their yule logs. Those who would a grunger be, take heed of this warning, for there is no guarantee you will live till morning. If you wordle in the snow, in a spot you've chosen, dawn's first light is going to show your woggling irons are frozen.
And thank you, Rambling Sid.
Very nice of you to have me.
Well, now, while he was singing, two other guests arrived, listened for a moment, and headed straight for the cloakroom. Cause and effect, I suppose. I think they're still in there. I'll just check. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian. This is my friend Sam.
Oh, yes. Hello, Mr. Orr. Nice to bard you, Dolly Old Eek, again.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be out as soon as Jules finished doing his rye. It takes him hours, combing it so the join don't show.
Right, you swore you'd never mention
nah,
it.
Nah, you're so vain.
Ah, vain. Who's talking? Mm. Puts hormone cream on his knees, Mr. Orr.
Listen, lie up.
You do too. And anti-wrinkle cream on your elbows.
Well, if you've got good points, you might as well look after them. Oh. At least I don't wear a piece.
I'll give you a piece.
Come and meet the rest of the guests.
No, I don't think I could face anybody. No, I'm too upset.
Oh, come on. They're dying to meet you, and you did promise to entertain us.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to move from this spot. I'm not going to move till Sand apologizes.
Never!
Go on. After all, it's Christmas.
Oh, it's Christmas. All right.
Now, shape?
Yes, all right. There we are.
There, good.
There was no warmth in it.
Oh, come on. Quiet, everybody. Quiet, please. Julian and Sandy have promised to entertain.
Oh! Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Now,
with Jewel at the piano, yes, we will give you a selection of campfire songs. You like warming your hands at the old campfire. So if you know the words, don't hesitate. Keep your mouth shut. Right. Jewel?
Yes?
Ready? Order now your lappers on the Striller's boner.
Oh, trust me.
Trouble, I do.
And here we go. It lies through the air with the greatest of ease, the daring young Ohm on his flying trapeze. His eek is so boon
all balloons he does please,
and my love is stolen away. Then we stood up and wrote,
there's a hole in my bucket, dear Sandy, there's a hole in my bucket, dear Sandy, a hole.
Then why don't you stop it, dear Julian? Then why don't you stop it, dear Julian, stop it?
With what shall I stop it, dear Sandy, with what shall I stop it, dear Sandy, with what?
If I were to tell you, dear Julian, if I were to tell you, we'd be off the air.
Well, that's it. And if we've managed to raise a smile this Christmastide and helped you to forget your troubles for half an hour, all I can say is you must be particularly easy to please.
Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Betty Marsden. On the musical side, you heard the Max Harris Group. The script was written by Barry Took, Johnny Mortimer, and Brian Cook, and the program is produced by John Simmons.